we're on the third part of a series on why we worship the Holy Ghost. That means this is the third message on why, say why we worship the Holy Ghost. Now, because most people don't. Why we do, most people don't worship the Holy Ghost, so we need to sort of explain ourselves as to why we do. We have reasons of why we do. We didn't just pick this out of the air, but this is what sort of makes us different, makes you different from somebody who doesn't worship the Holy Ghost. You understand that, yeah. Right? Anyway, so 1 Peter chapter 3, 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Right? Yes. So be always ready to give an answer. Well, for those of you who do worship the Holy Ghost, then this will help you to have an answer to give to people, right? Yes. When they go, oh, why do you worship the Holy Ghost and nobody else does? Right? Mm-hmm. And, or if you don't worship the Holy Ghost, this will give you good reasons to start worshiping the Holy Ghost. Does this make sense? Yes. And this is the third in a series that we've started. Well, number one, do you remember what that was? Because he is God. Why do you worship the Holy Ghost? That honestly should answer it. Because he is God. Mm-hmm. And we worship God. Yeah. Now, I might take up time here just for a second. I didn't know if I was going to, but maybe we'll just see how it goes, right? Are you in a hurry?
No.
Well, he is God, and he's as much God as the Father and Jesus is, and therefore is deserving of worship. Wouldn't you say that's correct?
Yes.
If he is God, and he is, we proved that last week, then he's deserving of worship as much as the Father or Jesus is. Are you here?
Yes.
Well, I brought this, I printed this off. This is about the Nicene Creed, or the Apostles' Creed. You ever heard of that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is what that most Christian groups or believers base their faith on. Now, you can have little parts of this where you're not deviating from this. You're just kind of adding that you're stressing, you know, let's say Pentecostals would believe in praying in other tongues. Well, that wouldn't go against this. You understand? They would still be considered not heretics and not a cult because they believe this. You understand? They came up with this. Let's see. I wrote the dates down here. In 325. It was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Nicene Creed, the first Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Then they had another council that came in Constantinople, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
56 years later in 381, where they revived some of this, where they just kind of added some things that they felt they left out. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So let me just read this. Says it's very short. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, you have to understand that the way they're saying this, it's just divided up, and then they're going to talk about what the Father does, then they're going to talk about what Jesus does, what they believe about him, and then at the end they make this little statement, and in the Holy Ghost. So they get through and they list what the Father is, then they list all the things the Son did, and then at the very end they say, and the Holy Ghost. So the full statement is they believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You understand? Let me just keep reading. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible. Do you believe that? Yes. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father, before all worlds, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. Do you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right? By whom all things were made. We know that. Without him, not was anything made that was made.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning Jesus was with the Father in the beginning, right? Who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost and of the Virgin Mary. And then notice I'm reading the second one because they've included things that they all agreed upon. You understand? the Virgin Mary. I've preached on all of these things. And was made man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate and suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. And ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. Amen. Are we here? Amen. Do we believe that?
Yes.
Isn't that what we preach?
Yes.
Yes, well, stop calling us heretics. Right? Yeah. We're not preaching anything other than this. We're just happen to be emphasizing something that, frankly, you aren't. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We believe all those things. From thence he shall come again. So what that means, he's there and he shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Now they expanded a little bit on the Holy Ghost. And in the Holy Ghost, and understand, they said, we believe in the Father, he did all this. We believe in the Son, he did all of this. And the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life. This is in your fundamental doctrine of just about every church on the face of this earth. They said we believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord. Say Holy Ghost, the Lord.
Holy Ghost.
Now, when I say Lord, Holy Ghost, or Holy Ghost is the Lord, people get angry at me. Well, they're not believing their own doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
I've known and preached, this has been in the doctrine since the beginning, a lot longer than they've been around, since 381. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father, who was with the Father and the Son, together is worshiped. Say, together is,
together
worshiped,
is. Worshiped
and glorified. Who are we talking about here? The Holy Ghost is worshiped and glorified.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, I never saw that before. Well, nobody preaches it because nobody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You worship the Holy Ghost, glorified, who spake by the prophets. Who, a person, spake by the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody was speaking by the prophets, who was speaking? The Holy Ghost, according to your doctrine, I don't care whose church you're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's even the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholics agreed on this back then.
Mm-hmm.
Are you here?
Yes.
Yet the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, are not found on the lips of hardly any, if any, of the believers or the organizations or the churches across the world. Not found on the lips, the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. And they say he deserves worship.
Mm-hmm.
Who? The Holy Ghost.
Oh.
He deserves worship, yet they don't. Who's the heretic now? Who's the one not doing what their own creed says?
Mm-hmm.
And yet when we go, oh, I worship the Holy Ghost, they think we're something strange, when the reality is we're just doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because he's God in the earth today. And I'm going to get along with that. I might not include that with the simple three messages I'm trying to get out for people. I don't want people to get turned off by me yelling at them, but I might include it. Well, I'll go listen to it when we get home and we'll see how it goes. You understand?
Yes.
But how'd that make you feel? Pretty good, right? You're not a heretic. You're simply doing what the word, and we know what the word says, but it's what their doctrine says. That's what I wanted to get about.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yes.
Their doctrine says it, but they don't do it. And it's always bugged me. It's been a pet peeve of mine that every person or every group that I've been involved in, and many of them have wonderful things going on, they don't respect the Holy Ghost. They don't take him far enough, even according to what their doctrine says. They'll take this doctrine and then from that point on they'll treat him like he's a power, or he's a substance, or he's some kind of something to be applied, like an oil. Now I understand there is anointing. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But he is a person and is to be worshipped. You don't worship oil.
No.
Okay. Again, just say, calm down, brother. It'll all be okay. Right?
Yeah.
The Nicene Creed. We're not heretics. If anybody is, you probably are. You don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so why we worship the Holy Ghost? Well, because the Nicene Creed tells us to. That'd be another reason. Why we worship the Holy Ghost? He is God. He's as much God as the Father, or Jesus is God, and therefore deserving of our worship. And then I told you that the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if they knew me as God, they would worship me. Right? Obviously they don't know him as God, otherwise they would worship him. Yeah, so what you should say, well, oh, you worship the Holy Ghost, you go, you don't, so you don't know him as God. You go, is he God? Yes, that should settle it. Then worship the Holy Ghost. And reason, I'll get into this next week, there's benefits to worshiping the Holy Ghost that you can't access until you do. You understand? So number two, he is the one that Jesus sent to be with us in the earth. He's the one. He is God, and he's the God one that Jesus sent from the Father to be with us. Say with us. With us in the earth. That's number two. I covered that in somewhat depth last week. Go to John chapter 14. Is this any good? Reasons why we worship the Holy Ghost. Well, my church doesn't. Well, your church isn't doing what their own doctrine says they should be doing. And this isn't outside of your own doctrine. We believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. I've preached on the virgin birth of Jesus, right? I preach on repentance and being born again and receiving forgiveness of sins. You understand that? You know, because people would like to, and I see it all the time online. Well, they didn't listen to all our messages, you know? They just listen to one thing that they didn't particularly like and they don't agree with. Well, I'm sorry, you know, you go, I went to your church, I'll probably find another 10 things that I didn't like or didn't agree with. So what? That doesn't mean you shouldn't go there. Again, calm down, brother. John chapter 14. So, he's the one Jesus sent. We know that, right? From last week. And it says, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another. Say another.
Another
comforter, that he may abide with you forever, meaning that Jesus isn't going to abide with you forever. He had to go away.
Right.
And he's going to pray the Father after he'd gone away, and he'll send you another. Another what? Another like Jesus. Was Jesus a person? Yeah, you can't have another of something and have it be completely different. Another part of the Godhead. Jesus wasn't part of the Godhead. He sent another part of the Godhead to be with you forever. Is this making sense? Another like me, a person. And verse 17 says who it is. Even the Spirit of Truth. Who would that be? That'd be the Holy Ghost. Right, so he's the one that Jesus sent. And with many other examples, we can see that the Holy Ghost is the one, say the one, Jesus sent. Right?
Yes.
Well, that's number two. And being that another, and that one that Jesus sent, one signifying an individual, he's the divine person that Jesus sent that speaks to us and is with us and comfort us and talks to us and is with us. Right? Just like Jesus was with them when he was in the earth in his dispensation, and we'll get into that in a minute. Just then the Holy Ghost came when Jesus left, came into the earth to be with us, to walk with us, fellowship with us, just like Jesus was, because he's the another one divine person sent to be with us who speaks. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Which gets us up to number three. Seemed like a long way around, but we're getting there. Number three, why we worship the Holy Ghost. One, because he's God. Two, because he's God that Jesus sent to us. Three, it's his dispensation, meaning the time that we're in is his time. Say it's his time.
It's his time.
Sometimes that makes more sense to people than age or dispensation. We're like, ah, what are these words? Age is kind of, ooh, new agey. But it's his time. Meaning, it's like when Jesus said, he was talking to his mother and he said, you know, it's not my time. Remember? because she's like, oh, you know, work your whatever you do on this wine or on this water, turn it. And he said, oh, it's not my time, because he was hadn't entered into the anointing and preaching in those. Are you here?
Yes.
But it now is the Holy Ghost's time. Which means he's to manifest as God. And if he's manifesting as God, because he is God, then what do you do with God? You worship him, which enables him to manifest in a much greater way. It's his dispensation. Now, it might help us to look up a little bit at Jesus's age and time, where it began and ended. Say, and ended. So that we know the clean transfer from one time to the next. Does that make sense? So let's go to Acts chapter 1, and this is written out clearly. Acts chapter 1. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Acts chapter 1, let's look at verse 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. How many were there? About 120. Now, which is unfortunate, because earlier on Jesus had appeared to 500 and told them, don't go, don't leave, stay in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father. Where'd they go? The Bible says they were scattered abroad. They went all over the place. Are you here?
Yeah.
And here we have 120 that stayed. Men and brethren, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spake. Who spoke this?
The Holy Ghost
by the mouth of David spake. Which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. Who spake? The Holy Ghost by the mouth of David. Before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, inasmuch that is the field in their proper tongue, Keldama, something like that. That is to say, the field of blood. See, now I can say that. The field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and let his bishopric let another take. Are you still here? Verse 21, wherefore of these men, because this is where he's gonna literally lay out the dispensation of Jesus. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out from us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two. You understand what happened here? He just said they are apostles of the Lord Jesus. They had to be there from the beginning of the baptism of John. Say, the baptism of John. Well, what happened at the baptism of John? Jesus, the Holy Ghost came on Jesus and he began his ministry. It was the beginning of Jesus's dispensation. Before that time, that wasn't his dispensation yet. You understand? He entered it when the Holy Ghost came on him, right? From the baptism of John, verse 22, unto that same day that he was taken up from us. What day was that? Well, that was the day he was taken up from them. Mm-hmm. So from the time he was baptized by John and the Holy Ghost came on him till the time he went up into heaven and was received out of their sight, that was the dispensation of Jesus. Are you here? At which point he sat down on the right hand of the Father and sent the another. Mm-hmm. Whose dispensation would it be then?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost's dispensation. So let's look back at Acts chapter 1. and verse 9, and it says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Jesus was taken up and received them, him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Are you here? Say, this same Jesus.
This same Jesus.
That same Jesus, not some different Jesus, not some Jesus people are preaching. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And I always say this, has that happened? Then where is Jesus?
In heaven.
He is at the right hand of the Father, and he shall return. Now, I didn't do this. I was going to write it out, but I got distracted, I guess. I'll write it out real quick. You got a problem with that?
No.
See, with the magic of the tape, I can just fast forward it through this. This won't take long. You ever watch a tape with some guy writing on a board?
Yes.
Actually, right? If it was behind me, I'd just be writing on a chalkboard. All right, let's see. I hope I'm writing this big enough. Professors, they learn how to do that, write real big so people can see it. All right, so here we have, and I just read scriptures, right? Can you see that? Jesus left. Right?
Yes.
And Jesus returns.
Yes.
Can we all agree upon the fact that Jesus left?
Yes.
Right? He left. Where is he? He's in heaven with the Father at the right hand of the Father, seated until his enemies become his footstool.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can take you to many scriptures to say that. That's where he is. Has he returned? No. So we're not over here. We're not over here.
Right.
You are here. In between. Say in between.
In between.
In between where Jesus left and Jesus returns. This is the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Everything in between. Because Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to be with us. Jesus isn't with you. The Holy Ghost is with you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And he's God in the earth today. I hope that made sense. I don't know how it wouldn't make sense. But anyway, that's where you are. So we are in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't it be good for you to know what dispensation you're in so that you can operate in it correctly?
Yes.
A lot of people just rather be in the dispensation of Jesus, but that doesn't work. He's not here, right?
Mm-hmm.
If anything is done in the earth, it is done by the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. It's his dispensation. You getting any of this? All right, so he came into the earth. Say, he's a person. He is part of the Godhead. He came into the earth just like Jesus said he would. Acts chapter 2, you're probably still in Acts, right?
Yep.
Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, let's read verse 1. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Where did it come from?
Heaven.
And as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Ghost. This was him coming into the earth. You don't believe me? Go down to verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, that's talking about Jesus, and having received of the Father, who's that talking about? The Father. Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. He calls this the Holy Ghost. It was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost, of them receiving him. You understand? So now we have the Holy Ghost, who is in the earth and hasn't left. It's his dispensation. It's his time. It's his time. Whose time is it? The Holy Ghost's time. We're living in the Holy Ghost's time. Are you getting this?
Yes.
He came in the earth on the day of Pentecost and has never left. Still in Acts?
Yep.
Thank God for the book of Acts. Go to chapter 7. We see another example here of the Holy Ghost is the one who's in the earth. He's the one, he's the person that Jesus sent, and he's now in the earth, and it's his time to be in the earth, and he hasn't left, which means he's still in the earth. He's God, he's in the earth, and he hasn't left. Let's look at Acts chapter 7 verse 51. You stiff, see, this is my kind of sermon. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, which your fathers did so to you. Do we see that today?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, everywhere, everybody, they resist God.
Uh-huh.
It's his dispensation, it's his age, and they're resisting him.
Mm-hmm.
You do always resist the Holy Ghost. Verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. Verse 53, mm-hmm. Who have received of the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a little bit something I just said about the Nicene Creed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They've not kept it. When they heard these things, they didn't like it too much. They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, say he, this is Stephen, being full of who? The Holy Ghost, who is a person, who is God, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. Where was he looking? Heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, which would be the Father. Where was the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost was with Stephen in the earth,
mm-hmm.
and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Are you getting this? Ghost, and there are many other examples. The Holy Ghost is the only part of the Godhead in the earth, active in the earth. Why? Because it is his time.
Mm-hmm.
It's his age, it's his dispensation. Now, you know, God began to deal with me when I speak in tongues. When you're speaking in tongues, you're partaking of the exact same experience that they partook of on the first day of Pentecost. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And the Holy Ghost is still here, and you can still speak in tongues anytime you want, and you're still calling on the name of the Lord in other tongues. It's a wonderful thing. Same experience as they had at the beginning of this dispensation. We're still in this dispensation. He's the only part of the Godhead in the earth, active in the earth. It is his time, it is his age, it is his dispensation, and he, listen, he has full authority. Full authority to carry out his purpose and his will. Which is not in people going, it's not in disagreement with the Father and Jesus. They sent him.
Right.
You know, they're not micromanaging him. They don't need to. He's God. Right?
Right.
He's God. So he has full authority in the earth. Who? The Holy Ghost has full authority to carry out his purpose and his will in the earth. The problem is most people don't give him full authority
mm-hmm.
to carry out his purpose or his will. They're stiff-necked, resisting him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll just quickly share this. The type of Moses and Joshua. Remember Moses? I won't take you back there. It'll take too long. Too much to read. But you have Moses, when it came to his, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. He wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. He'd fulfilled his purpose of getting Israel delivered from the bondage of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and then right up to the promised land, but he wasn't allowed to go in. Then his time, or his, let's say, dispensation, his time was up, and so he went away. And God had to remove him completely out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Say, remove completely.
Remove completely.
Because if they didn't remove him completely, they wouldn't have followed Joshua. You understand? Because they would have been, well, Joshua says this, what do you think? You know, it's like when somebody is removed from being the head of a corporation, they have to completely remove him. He can't just be hanging around all the time, otherwise people would be, it would subvert his authority. Joshua, when Moses left, Joshua had the full authority of God to go into the promised land, and he led them in there. Because Moses was taken out of the way. The type of Jesus is Moses being taken out of the way. Jesus was taken out of the way completely. Right?
Yep.
So that when the Holy Ghost came in, we would follow the Holy Ghost. We would follow the lordship of the Holy Ghost leading us in the earth. You understand this?
Yes.
Moses had to leave, and full authority had to be given to Joshua, so the people would follow Joshua and not Moses. And then Joshua took them into the promised land. And isn't it funny how the Holy Ghost, one of his names is the promise? All right, so there has been a full transition of leadership authority to the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. And when we worship him and follow him, we are of course fulfilling the purpose of Jesus. He's the one who sent the Holy Ghost. We are fulfilling the purpose of the Father because he sent the Holy Ghost. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Romans 8. I hope I'm not going on too long here. I get a little bit wound up over these things. Romans chapter 8. You find it?
Yeah.
Romans 8 is a great book. Probably should just open up there. Your Bible should just fall open to Romans 8. Romans 8, and then let's look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Are you here? Who are the sons of God to be led by? Jesus? Is Jesus leading the sons of God now? No. Jesus isn't in the earth. The Holy Ghost's in the earth with full authority to lead the children of God. You understand? They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Let me read it again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you seeing this? Even Jesus, remember book of Revelation, Jesus appeared to John the Revelator on the island of Patmos, and he showed up and he began saying things to him, and then he gave a message to the church, and he said, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Jesus didn't even cross that line of authority in his resurrected state of being, because the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today and has full authority to direct and guide and lead and call and do all of these things. He's God in the earth. And so when Jesus appeared to John, he said, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Are you here? Go to Acts chapter 13. Why we worship the Holy Ghost. Wow, sounds like you think he's God in the earth today. He is God in the earth today, and he has full authority as God to do his will in the earth. Acts chapter 13. You know, they call that book the Acts of the Apostles. It really should be the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 13. Are you here? You know what I'm going to read here. I read this a lot here in this group. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord. Now even the Nicene Creed called the Holy Ghost Lord. As he ministered to the Lord and fasted, somebody said something. The Holy Ghost said something. Now, what is the Holy Ghost doing saying? Because this is his dispensation. This is his time. He's the one in the earth. Let's see what he says. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Who said it? The Holy Ghost. Separate me, Holy Ghost. Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. He's calling them to the office of the apostle. Who is? The Holy Ghost is calling them. He has full authority to do it. If he didn't do it, nobody did it. Are you here?
Yes.
And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has full authority to call people, to send them forth, to do whatever he needs to do to get the job done in the earth, except the Christians don't want anything to do with him. Anyway, separate me, he said. He has assumed control. Who has assumed control? The Holy Ghost. He came into the earth, he assumed control. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who still has control?
The Holy
Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Would it be good to worship him? Yeah, yeah. You want some favor? You want to get ahead of the pack? Worship the Holy Ghost. He's the one with full authority and leadership in the earth. Leadership, yeah, led by the Spirit. Are you here?
Yeah.
All right. I hope I'm getting this across. If anything's done in the earth, it is done by him. Go to 1 Corinthians. If that didn't irritate you, maybe this will. 1 Corinthians. If you didn't worship the Holy Ghost before, hopefully this message will help you and give you reason to see that he's God in the earth and begin to worship him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I hope you're ready for this. And verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts or things pertaining to the Spirit. You can see that word gifts there is in italics. That means it was just added for our benefit. It really just says now concerning spiritual. Or things basically pertaining to the Spirit. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant, right? Mm-hmm. But you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Would they do that?
No.
Of course not. He's in agreement with Jesus 100%, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Well, we know that if somebody confesses Jesus as Lord, that's how they get born again.
Right.
Here it says no man can get born again without the Holy Ghost. So who's the one getting people born again in the earth? Has to be the Holy Ghost. He's the only part of the Godhead in the earth. Are you here? And no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts or endowments, but what? The same Spirit. So there are, if there are endowments in the earth, who are they by? The same Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting this? There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. Now that word administration means service or ministries. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Who, Lord? Has to be the Holy Ghost, because he said concerning things pertaining to the Spirit.
Yes.
And I'm going to show you another verse that says that all of these are the one, are what the Holy Ghost is doing. So did he put Barnabas and Saul into service?
Yes.
Into a ministry? Yes, we have proof of that. So the Holy Ghost did it. He's the Lord doing it. And verse 5, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations or effects, but it is the same God which works all, say all, in all.
No.
Who's the God working all in all?
The Holy Ghost.
It has to be the Holy Ghost. Are you here?
Yes.
And he says there are and he goes and he lists, but the verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit. By who? The Spirit. The word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. What Spirit are we talking about? The Holy Ghost. All these things, from salvation to being put into a ministry to fulfilling the ministry to the gifts you might use in a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things, the same Spirit. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another he gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. But all, say all these worketh that one, say
one,
not two, that one and the self same Spirit, Holy Ghost, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Who wills it?
The Holy Ghost.
He has full authority in his age to do as he wills. Now if we look at this a little bit here, it says, but all these worketh that one individual. He's an individual. He's that one that Jesus sent. Are you here?
Yes.
He's the one Jesus sent with full authority. He's an individual. That one, all of these worketh. All what worketh? All of the things that are being done in the earth are being worked by that one individual, the Holy Ghost, and the self. Is he a self?
Mm-hmm.
The self, same Spirit. Is he a self? Yes. Dividing to every man severally as he wills. He's a self with a will, and he's an individual. And all of these things that are worked by this one self, same Spirit, as he wills. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Who are we talking about?
The Holy Ghost
and his dispensation. I hope this is getting across. He has full leadership authority in the earth. Glory be to God forever. But when we begin to acknowledge him, you think that makes any difference? When you begin to acknowledge the one who's leading the church and who's guiding you and has the full authority to do all of the things you want done, you want to be in the ministry, you want to do something, you want to do stuff in the earth, you have to go to the one who has the full authority in the earth. That's him. He's God in the earth today. And when you worship him, that's what you should be doing. You understand? As we begin to worship him, use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, you'll begin to be changed, and you'll begin to see scriptures in a different way. And I don't have time to get into it, but the scriptures will become weighted towards him. And you go, well, what do you mean by that? I have a whole other message. I'll put in the link down below that you can go, scriptures weighted toward the Holy Ghost. Meaning all of the scriptures that say God, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't specifically say Jesus or the Father, then it is weighted in this dispensation to mean the Holy Ghost is the one speaking to you, because he's God in the earth today. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Anyway, so all scriptures begin to take on a new light that he is the one speaking to you,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Ghost leading you, directing you. I hope you're getting this. Go to 2 Corinthians. I'll try to end with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. Now, say now.
Now.
When is now?
Now?
Now is now. Excellent. I was supposed, if you look that up in the dictionary, it would say now. You look up, now is now. It's the present. We're in this dispensation where now the Lord is that Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Ghost. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, or another translation says the Spirit is Lord. Where the, say the where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty, which means where the Spirit isn't Lord, there isn't this liberty that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a liberty in worshiping the Holy Ghost as Lord that other people won't know. They can't go there because they're misplacing their worship. The Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, as in a glass, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord,
Holy Ghost,
are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Who's the one that changes you? If you're in the earth, which I think that you are, is the Holy Ghost is going to be the one that changes you from glory to glory. and he's deserving of your worship because he's God and he has full dispensational authority to do whatever you need to have done in your life. And there's liberty and freedom found in worshiping him that you can't find anywhere else. Are you here?
Yes.
So next week we're going to talk, hopefully, Lord willing, we will talk about, when I say Lord willing, what am I saying?
Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost willing, right? Mm-hmm. Because he is God in the earth today. Next week we'll talk about the liberty or the benefits. Say benefits.
Benefits.
There are a lot of benefits that come from learning how to worship the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today, and we'll get into that next week. Let me bless you. Holy Ghost, I pray for these people. I thank you for opening up their ears and touching their lives and beginning to turn things around in Jesus' name so that they may stand before you and please you. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.